Please be seated. Between the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts, may we be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So here we are, New Year's Day, picking up with the shepherds again from Christmas Eve. This week's readings are different than Christmas, though, although I didn't realize that initially when I started. I was like, oh my gosh, I've picked the same ones for 2 days. This is embarrassing. But then I realized that it wasn't, because there is, in fact, a sense of movement to focus on who Jesus is and what Jesus brings. We hear the blessing of Moses, which I think all of you will be familiar with. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is the reminder of where Jesus came from, his lineage, what God is doing, and that God keeps God's promises. Remember, God promised the Israelites that they would make it to the promised land, and they did. God then sent an angel to both Mary and Joseph and told them that he would give them a son who would be the savior of all and that his name was to be Jesus. And the name Jesus simply means God saves. We come to this story with a lot more information than Mary and Joseph. What did they know about what was happening to them at this point? The angel Gabriel told Mary that you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. We also have a lot more information than the shepherds. Because we have the Gospels. We have the prophets Anna and Simeon in the temple speaking about who Jesus is. And we get to hear about how Jesus grew up, how he was a bit cheeky at a temple moment, challenging people in synagogues, how he would later, as an adult, challenge the status quo and draw a following that would lead him to Jerusalem and to death on a cross, abandoned by all, only to rise again, having conquered death 3 days later, because God keeps God's promises. And so thousands of years later, we sit here wondering when Jesus will return again. And I was tempted to wear my Jesus is coming, look busy t-shirt, but the bishop frowned on it last time, so, you know. And so we wonder, what should we be doing in the meantime? And this morning's readings, short and sweet as they are indeed perfect for a New Year's Day service, particularly for us here at St. David's and St. Paul's. The identity of Jesus is what we're talking about. It's about identity, who Jesus is, who we are as Jesus followers, and who we are as a church in this time and place. The identity of Jesus, of course, who God saves, is the one who God saves all of us through. Through faith in the Son of God, we become children of God, as Paul writes, and Jesus, born under the law, a Jew, spawned a church that started among his own people and then grew to include the likes of you and me, so that all who may believe may be called children of God and welcomed into relationship with the Creator. And so then the next question becomes, well, if that's who Jesus is and that's who we are, then what is the mission that Jesus gave us? And again, I believe it will be familiar. It's from Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus demands action of his followers. And if you struggle to remember everything that Jesus commanded us, I don't, obviously. But if you find yourself unable to list all of those things verbatim, fear not. The Anglican Church, in its great wisdom, has an easy-to-remember list of five action points called the five marks of mission. And these will be very helpful to us in the coming weeks and in the coming months as we do the work of the interim. So here they are. To proclaim the good news of the kingdom, to teach, baptize, and nurture new believers, to respond to human need in loving service, to seek to transform the unjust structures of society, to challenge violence of every kind and to pursue peace and reconciliation, and to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth. It is shorter than everything that Jesus commanded us, but it's actually still quite a lot to get on with. And you can probably think of times in this church where this church has answered these calls to action very specifically. I know some of you will think of days when many children were baptized together at once. We proclaim the good news of the kingdom, not just in the kind of preaching that I do, but in the way that we speak about our faith outside of these walls, the way that we respond to human needs in loving service. There will have been ministries here from long before I came, and transforming unjust structures of society. Well, I think of Deacons Ron's work with the Sycamore Commons and the housing projects. There are lots of things that we have done, and we're going to be talking about where we've been, what we're doing now, and where we think we are called. So the good news is that we will not do it alone. The Holy Spirit is with us, and as Jesus said, I am with you even to the end of the age. Some parts of this process will not be easy. Some of the conversations we will need to have will call us to be incredibly honest with ourselves and with one another, but above all, with God. Jesus, we know, was fully God and fully human, and we might think it was easier for him. I do not believe it was. I think taking on the flesh of humanity to come and show us the way we could, in a way we could understand how to live, must have been a very difficult task. But I also believe that we have everything we need in the people in this room, in the scriptures, and all around us, because I believe that God provides always. So we will be asking ourselves a few questions like these. What are we prepared to do to proclaim the kingdom of God and to teach and nurture new believers? This is the church growth piece. What are we prepared to do to transform the unjust structures of society? Continuing the work with reconciliation with First Nations people, supporting the efforts to bring refugee families safely to homes in Canada could be some of the answers. And then to ask ourselves, where are the injustices in our community? And this is a very difficult question, to look at our own, to look at the place where we live, perhaps to even look at how we manage ourselves. What are we taking part in, and where are the unjust structures? And what are we prepared to do to challenge them? And then, who should we be serving? How can we continue to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation? Well, the Sycamore Commons was certainly a huge project that addressed that one, and one that you are famous for across the diocese. And we have the Pollinator Garden coming along. So that's a good start, but we'll be asking ourselves, where is God poking and prodding and cajoling and dragging us along to say, hey peeps, this is where you ought to be? Jesus has this identity, you see, that we're not supposed to be able to live up to. So it sounds like a lot. It sounds like I'm like, guys, we're not doing enough. We need to do more things so that God will love us more. That's not true. We actually don't have to live up to the identity of Jesus. That's why God in Jesus came down to us from heaven. That's why in the book of Revelation, the images of the new creation show a holy city descending to earth. We don't have to rise to the level of Jesus Christ, Son of God, superstar. We simply have to listen and pour ourselves out as best we can, because that is the Jesus way, and so that is the way of the disciples of Jesus. Paul wrote to the Philippians that God gave Jesus the name above every name. Jesus, God saves. As Christians, we become and are constantly becoming God's children through relationship with Jesus. Bearing the name Christian means being saved. And being saved means being freed from slavery, freed to live the way that Jesus taught us. So as a church, we have to decide what that is going to look like in this time and place, and act as Jesus would until his return. Jesus, the light of the world, whose birth we just celebrated with gusto, tells us that we are salt and light. So let's not keep that light under a bushel on a hill in Powell River, but let's show it to the world, or at least to our neighbors, so that we grow into our identity as children of God and become the beacon of hope that we pray to be for the lost, the unloved, and the seekers each week. Amen.